I don't know, you don't have to put up your hand, but sometimes the Lord's presence can be a bit uncomfortable. It can be uncomfortable. And in moments of warfare where we believe, and I believe, that the Lord is putting you in a fire, or just bringing His holy fire, the stuff that we tag along that is maybe not of the Lord, those things get burnt. Sometimes we're like, don't fully like it, but once they're gone, you're like, oh, that's freedom. So God uses, I believe, His presence. He uses these moments of true intimate worship. Yes, to bless us. Yes, to connect with us. Yes, to let us realize that He is real. But also to come with the heat, come with the fire, and to take out all the other stuff. Who was it that started off this morning talking about the other gods? God, just take those other gods away. And we're thankful for that. Let me pray before we jump into God's word. Lord, we're humble and we're thankful. Thank you, Lord. We don't even have to understand everything, but we know that you're a good God. And we know this morning that you fight our battles on our behalf. You fight the enemy on our behalf. I pray that for every single person. Thank you, God, that you will come and convict and touch hearts where necessary. Ears will be open, eyes will be open, hearts will be receptive to your Spirit, your word, and your seed alone, nothing else. Lord, burn away this morning all the other stuff. I believe we're in difficult times in this world, God, but thank you that you'll show us the way daily. Fill us with your truth. And as David said, Jesus, we ask this morning, teach us your way. Teach us your ways so that we can live by your truth and nothing else. The road is narrow and few find it. God, we want to be the few. Not full of pride, but we want to be part of the few. Us and our families in this congregation. And we pray it for all the congregations in this area. May we be part of the few that find the road, that find the way. Not in fear, but in love and in faith and humility. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm quite stoked. God is good. We visited Almesbury last night, myself and Edna Angus Buck, and had a meeting there. And it was just such a blessing in the simplicity that he shares the word with a lot of gusto and zeal. How you could see how that rocked a couple of hundred thousands, I don't know, but it was a lot of people. It just rocked their lives and ourselves. And very, very often, it's in the simplicity. It's in the simplicity of the gospel. It's in the simplicity of love, the simplicity of faith, the simplicity of the word, the truth, that just sets us free. And that's what I'm trusting, and I hopefully you guys as well. That's what we're trusting the Lord for this morning. Lord, just simplify. Just bring us, if necessary, some of you might be there, but just wait for the rest of us. Lord, just bring us back to basics. Just simplify things, because things are a bit weird and wacky out there, spiritually and even in this world. I'm not going to ask who's going through a tough patch, but we know there are a couple. Spoke to the worship team as well, and they said that this is what they've noted, that a couple of people are going through tough patches. And then, hence, I believe God says, come back to the game plan, come back to simplicity. Now, the last two times that I've preached in this month was both round about the same line. And you remember at the beginning of the year, it was clearly that God said to us as a church, seek first. So it's hashtag seek first. And that's just in whatever you do, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and the rest shall be added unto you. It's very plain and simple, but it's quite profound to do it day to day in everything you do. Because we get accustomed to our own way of doing, our own rhythm. So we need to seek first. And today it's along those lines again. But we're in a world that we constantly need to be aware of, where are we going? I said last week, we chatted about the lighthouses. Two basic things, fundamental things in life that we all want to know. Last night, Angus said, what are the reasons for living, or who else was there? Meaningful life, thank you. Out of the mouth of babes, young ones, God will speak. Thank you. Thank you, Elise. But what is the meaning of life? And last week you touched on it. There's two fundamental things that we all need in life. We want to be secure. Who does not want to be safe? And then other than that, we want to navigate through life. Those two things are quite fundamental. How to navigate this thing called life. And in the process, you find the meaning of life, which Angus Buchan says is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. So we need to navigate, and we want to do it safely. And today it's exactly the same. We were having supper. We were at the table. It was actually quite a nice moment. We don't have them often at the table at the moment because the two young ones, the toddlers, are not necessarily that fond of eating all the stuff on their plate. So we have a couple of wrestling matches at night. I don't know if any of you guys, doesn't seem to be the case, but in our home, having supper, Bianca was there one evening this week, and she actually saw a bit of that, but it is quite tough. But we had a quiet, discreet, divine, godly moment, and Edna said to me, "So Retief, what are you preaching on Sunday?" And I didn't have a clue at that stage, but she said, "But what are you preaching on Sunday?" And she did not even finish the sentence, and it was just as clear as daylight. It just dropped in my spirit, the words, "My sheep will know my voice, and the voice of another they will not follow." Poof. And I said to her, "I'm going to preach on my sheep will know my voice, and the voice of another they will not follow." So that's how I get the topics for sermons. I trust God prophetically to speak to me. Now, obviously, you don't have to always do that. Me and Pietri, we've had a couple of discussions around this thing of finding the topics. What is God's heart? The Bible is on. Jesus is on. The truth is on God's heart. But I like to seek Him out and to say, "Lord, what is special? What's the rhema word that You have for this congregation today?" Because He knew that You are going to be here. And that's the reason why He gave it to me. Hence, we're going to look at navigating again and doing it securely. Now, it was awesome that He gave that word to me at the table, at the family table. Because I believe we're called not to a religious formula. We're always called into a relationship. It was at the family table that He dropped it into my heart. A place of, I called it, relational safety. And out of relational safety comes relational blessing. But let's go to the scripture and not make up too much of our own stuff. Did you just say amen? Such a Pietri amen there. We're going to camp around John 10 today. I want to encourage you, go and read John 10. Go and make it your own. You've probably done that by now, but just go and take it. We're going to jump through it, and we're going to come back and forth. Obviously, look at other scriptures, but make John 10 your own. It's really such a rich, and I'm just going to skim off the top probably, but go and dig into it quite deeply because there's a lot of food, there's a lot of substance, there's a lot of navigational tools and a lot of safety for children of God in there. John 10:1. "I assure you, anyone who doesn't enter the sheep pen by the door but climbs in some other way is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. The doorkeeper opens it for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out." He calls his own sheep by name and he leads them out. "When he has brought all of his own outside, he goes ahead of them. The sheep follow him because they recognize his voice." Ach, do me a favor. Say, "Recognize his voice." It sounds a bit weird if we do that, but remember that we need to recognize his voice. "They will never follow a stranger." Sorry, I'm going to do it once more. Maybe not for the rest of the day, but say, "Never follow a stranger." Amen. Amen, strangers, says danger, or something like that. It sounds good. "They will never follow a stranger. Instead, they will run away from him." We're not going to do it again, but we could have said run away from him. "Because they don't recognize the voice of strangers." Because they don't recognize the voice of strangers. Jesus gave them the illustration, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Luckily, you guys are not them. Let's go on. I'm going to look at three passages of scripture, and then we're going to walk it through. So just bear with me. We're going to read a bit of scripture first. It is church. So Jesus said again, verse 7, "I assure you, I am the door of the sheep." I am the door of the sheep. Remember, if you do not come through the door, you're a robber or a thief. Jesus says, "Hey, I'll make it quite easy. I am the door to the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, But the sheep didn't listen to them. Good on you, sheep. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. A thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come so that they may have life and have it in abundance. I am the good shepherd. So I am the door, Jesus says. And then he says later on, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired man or the hireling, since he is not the shepherd and doesn't own the sheep, leaves them and runs away when he sees a wolf coming. And the last piece in John 10, verse 22 to 30. Let's quickly read that, because there's another key in there for us for later on. Jesus at the festival. Then the festival of dedication took place in Jerusalem, and it was winter. Jesus was walking in the temple complex in Solomon's colonnade. Then the Jews surrounded him and asked, how long are you going to keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly. I did tell you, and you don't believe. Jesus answered them, the works that I do in my Father's name testify about me, but you don't believe because you are not my sheep. For you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. Hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, ever. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one. Who is the good shepherd, guys? Jesus Christ. Now, do I have any sheep in the house today? Any sheep? Any goats? That's a joke. Gelukkig weet ek Benjamin het 'n sin vir humor. He's got a joking side to him, but definitely not a goat, praise God. The good shepherd, and go to the next slide if you don't mind, thanks. The good shepherd, we see there in John 10, verses 11 and 12. I'm just going to repeat it. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired man, or man, since he is not the shepherd and doesn't own the sheep, leaves them and runs away when he sees a wolf coming. Now it was today to us, how many of you guys own sheep? How many of you guys own choppies? Awesome. Dobraai. Great. Now just, those are the rich people these days. It is, having a bit of lamb in your deep freezer is not exactly the same thing as being a shepherd. But back then in context, it was very, very exact and very true for the season or the generation they were in. Jesus obviously knew exactly where he had to hit the mark. Today it would probably be entrepreneurs, guys that are professionals, etc. Those days, quite a number of the people were shepherds. We see shepherds being mentioned about 200 times in the Bible. We see that, and this is quite interesting, that the owners of the sheep were mostly, were mostly the guys that shepherded the sheep, not hirelings. That's why Jesus actually referred to them. It was mostly the owners. Abel was in fact Adam's son and the first sheep shepherd. Abram was a great shepherd. Rachel was a shepherd, a shepherdess, I don't know. She was a shepherd as well. She looked after her father's flock. Jacob's 12 sons, all were shepherds. Moses, he was a shepherd for his father-in-law. And then David. David was obviously also a shepherd. And then we know Jesus Christ, symbolically speaking, was a shepherd as well. Now, the Hebrew word for shepherding is often translated as feeding. So it's one thing we can note today, is that we need to chow, we need to eat. And the shepherd is the one that feeds us. A shepherd was one that led them out. He was the one that took them to pastures, to water, and safety and security, and obviously protected them both day and night. It was quite a big task. And then lastly, and you've probably heard the story, that many a times the shepherd would be the one that carries a little one of the flock that has either been stout, very naughty, and run off, or one that is sick and is not doing well. He will pick up and put, you've seen the children's Bible, the Kinder Bible stories, will put him on his shoulders and he will carry him back to the flock or a place of safety. Now the nice thing for me, obviously the Latin word, if you translate that, it also comes down to a shepherd being a pastor. Obviously there's a shepherding function that I have. But today we're not, praise God, not talking about me. Because 1 Peter talks about the chief shepherd. The chief shepherd being Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 5 verse 4. Just make a note. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. I like the Ou Afrikaanse vertaling, for those of you that understand Afrikaans, is die opperherder. Dis nie die gewone herder nie. Dis nie sommer so enige hierdie jou herder, dis die opperherder. Nou Jesus is die chief shepherd, die opperherder. So that makes my life a bit easier. So I can just always say I look up to die opperherder. And he's the one that will feed us. He's the one from which I should go and hear. So, okay, it was very obvious that shepherding was quite quite a general thing, a general occupation in that day. So people really caught the context, and now you've got a bit more of that. But if there's a shepherd, there obviously needs to be sheep. Now, the next heading I said, sheep, sheepish, or goat. Now, if you look at obviously this is a symbolic picture that Jesus used. We said Jesus is the opperherder, chief shepherd. We are the sheep. Now, many times, us as Christians in our Western civilization, we can find ourselves as being sheep. We can find ourselves as being kind of sheepish. Some attribute of sheep, but not really. Or then plainly, you can be a bit of a goat. Goat is not good today. I know goat is apparently these days a good thing, and you can actually eat it, and it's very healthy, and friends of ours actually have goats on their farm that you can buy. But today it's not a good thing. It's not something you're going to buy at Woolies. It's not a good thing. Now the thing of sheep is, and some of us might get a bit offended about that, but who knows anything about sheep? Just from the top of your head, anything that we can learn symbolically from sheep. Dogs, they are very dumb. Well, we need to take that one because I think that is quite true.
What bedoel jy?
No, they are actually, and I've heard it said, that they are not the smartest animals. Jesus went, I guess, in the process of trying to take us out, but he was actually trying to say something to us. There was a couple of other hands. Anything else that you know about sheep?
When one sheep starts running, all of them just
come. Well, that's a very important thing. Yeah. When one sheep starts running, all of them just follow without asking questions. That is a very important thing to notice and remember in a Christian biblical context.
The leader of the sheep doesn't really worry what's behind. The mother sheep doesn't care. She doesn't worry about what's happening.
Okay, cool. All right. But luckily she's not the leader. The shepherd is the leader. But yes, that can be the case. They're quite timid. And they're easily scared. So we can start making a couple of symbolic links here. I'm not trying to take anybody out. This is not a condemnation session. But I do believe there's a humility thing that the Lord will bring out. Something that he just says, hey guys, just relax. Yes. Yes, yes. I actually didn't want to say that because it's not applicable on any of you guys. But I'll put it in an email and I'll send it out. That's just a joke. That is really just a joke. What happens is, if the one of the flock wanders off and he keeps on doing it repetitively, Klander Bell's a goat, then the shepherd will go and actually break his leg or legs and then carry him with. And he will then, as it grows on and it heals, he'll obviously need to stay put. And that is the way in which they then keeps them in the fold. Yes. Amen. because he doesn't have much of a choice. Amen. No, absolutely. And sometimes we go through tough seasons. We go through the fire. We go through a desert season. What happens then? All of a sudden, Lord, shepherd, help me. And then God says, I've been here all the time, but I've just been waiting for you. And so you get to know him through the fire. I believe for him to be truly shepherd, you need to be truly sheep. It's not rocket science, but for God's son, for Jesus Christ to be truly shepherd in your life, we need to get to a place where we truly are sheep. I trust that makes sense. Let's quickly look at sheep. Sheep is a goat. And Matthew 25:32 says, before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate, this is in the end time, and he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come you, who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And it seems like the goats and the sheep will kind of mingle together. Remember, it's a symbolic picture, but at the end times it will come where he says, and I believe there he speaks about a heart's condition. It's not about who's got a goatee. Nobody's got a goatee. So, oh, you've got a goatee, John. John's got a goatee. But it's got nothing to do with facial hair. Don't worry, John. It's a heart's condition. And there's no goatee on John's heart. If somebody walks in now, they're like, what the heck are these people talking about? But it's a heart's condition. It's a place for where's your heart been all the time. You might have been part of a fold. You might have drank the milk. You might have eaten the grass. You might have wandered off and came back. But at the end of the day, it's about a heart condition, and there will be a separation between those with the sheep-like heart that actually truly follows the shepherd and those that are just faking it to make it. Now quickly, just for fun, next slide please. There's actually a website called www.sheep101.info, and they've got a lot of info about sheep. And I went and read about it. Now remember, they don't have a biblical context. They're not playing the metaphor game here of Jesus and sheep and stuff. But it is awesome what they do say. They say the following about sheep. Remember, we might be sheep, guys, but sheepish. Flee, not fight. Sheep are a prey animal. Sheep are a prey animal. Yes, we are all prey animals. Amen. Thank you. Got that one. It was a bit slow, but I got there. When they are faced with danger, their natural instinct is to flee, not fight. Their strategy is to use avoidance and rapid flight to avoid being eaten. How cool is that? Guys, we really need a shepherd. Some primitive, remember this is a worldly website, these guys are really big on sheep, for real. Some primitive sheep breeds may be able to more effectively evade predators as their natural instincts are stronger. Eyes of a tiger. Domesticated sheep have come to rely on man for protection from predators. Now we're joking, but God, guys, that's exactly what's happening spiritually. I like the following one, obviously, because I'm a pastor. The following one says, safety in numbers. Oh, it is on there. After fleeing, sheep will reform their group and look at the predator. They use their natural herding instinct to band together for safety. A sheep that is by itself is vulnerable to attack. Remember that. That's one we can quote. A sheep that is on itself is vulnerable for attack. So remember that, guys. I'll put it on Facebook and I'll send out an email. But God is obviously, Jesus is painting a picture. We're making fun of it, but it is funny. But see that spiritually. I've seen it so many times, unfortunately, spiritually. Yes. One of the flock that wanders off, or one that don't even see themselves as being part of the flock, who wanders off are many a times a bit vulnerable for attack. And then lastly, it says they've got keen senses, but I think we've laughed enough. Back to the other stuff. It is important, lastly there, that sheep, you can go back to the previous one, thanks, that sheep are humble and needy. And that's not a, a religious type of ja broer, jammer broer, jammer for yourself broer type of Christianity. I believe it's a heart's condition of realizing that, hey man, I'm in a rough and tough world, but I've got a king, I've got a shepherd that can look after me. And once that realization hits home, there's ample room to grow, to be navigated, and to be safe, obviously. Sheep are humble and needy, and they are followers. Psalm 23, and we don't have time for that today, but Psalm 23 is so beautiful in that being sheep and having a sheep-like heart automatically means that you are in relationship with a shepherd, or should be, or ought to be in relationship with a shepherd. I said the real sheep discern the true voice, not because of greatness of spiritual superiority. They don't have these amazing senses, but the mere simplicity of relational time spent. I'm going to repeat that. Real sheep, in a Christian context, me and you, discern the true voice of the shepherd, the good shepherd, not because of greatness of spiritual superiority and gifts or giftings necessarily only, but the mere simplicity of relational time spent. And I believe that to be very important. So humility is important, guys. Humility is important. Following. The shepherd will always walk in front and the sheep will follow. He's got a rod and a staff. And you get to know that rod and that staff. Many of you, if you just think a bit back in your life, you've gotten to know the shepherd's rod and staff. How he's just saved you. Grab your arm in your neck, say, hey, come here. Or in other cases where he uses it to fight off the wolves in your lives. David himself said, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And here maybe this morning, I believe it's the most important part. It's not my choice always, but I believe God is wanting to tell us in this spiritual day and age that it's important to note the following. You can go to the next slide. The voice of strangers. So it's one thing to say, yes, let's spend some relational time with the good shepherd. Let's get to know the good shepherd by spending time in the Word, time in the Spirit, Holy Spirit, inspired Spirit, time in fellowship. Yes, get to know Him. Word. Know the Gospels. It is good to know His voice. But there comes a time where we need to know and we need to chat about what is the voice of the strangers. Because there's a lot of voices out there, more than we actually even might think. John 10:5 says, they will never follow a stranger. Instead, they will run away from him because they don't recognize the voice of strangers. A stranger's voice can only stay strange for as long. If I lean out my ears to a strange voice once and like, oh, that doesn't sit right. But a second week and a second time. And 2 years later, it becomes like a shepherding voice to me. But luckily, the Holy Spirit can say, hey man, He can convict me. Retief, there might be fear in your life. The voice of fear might have come in very subtly. It was the stranger's voice at once. But have now become so strong and to such a big extent has become like one shepherding you. We need to trust the Holy Spirit today and in the season to say, hey, this is a stranger's voice. This is not my voice. And as I said, we do it in fellowship. We do it in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, by the Holy Spirit, and the Word. A thief comes only to kill, steal, and destroy. Now, what is the voice of a stranger? Anything, any thoughts, anything that comes up. What is the voice of a stranger that we will not follow or should not follow? Media. Yes, we can look at examples just now, but let's just delve a bit deeper. From where would the stranger's voice come, guys? Doubt, definitely. From the world, yes. From the family, yes. Even deeper than that, guys, from the devil. He's who? The father of lies. And the accuser of the brethren. A nice way to test this, it's not very deep, I figured it out, but it's not very deep. But I believe it's actually quite good. Yes, I do think so. He's not called the Antichrist for nothing. The voice of a stranger will always be anti or Antichrist. It might not be a Satanist that just walks into the room. It might not be some weird Buddha praying guy coming up to you and saying something. The strange voice comes just with a slight angle, but a definite, definite foundation of being anti or Antichrist. Very easy. We're going to see now as we break it open. I'm quite excited about this thing. The only way in which I can spot the stranger, the only way in which I can spot a fake is how? If I know the real. Discernment. The skateboard that you currently have, what make is it? What brand is it? What? Sector 9. Cool. Sector 9 skateboard. Who's got a Sector 9 skateboard? It's a good board. So it's a good Sector 9 skateboard is a very good board. If I need to go out and go buy myself a skateboard and the guy's like, hey man, I've got a sweet deal on a Sector 9.5 for you. I'm like, wow, that looks cool. It looks like a Sector 9. It's got all the bells and whistles of a Sector 9, but it's a fake from China. It's going to break, especially with my weight. It's going to break. I won't know because I don't know the real thing. If I ask him, hey man, come join me. Let's just go out to the surf shop. Please help me. It's like, dude, that's seriously a fake. But the guy is trying to take you for a ride, and it's not a sweet ride. It's not a Sector 9 sweet ride. The only way in which you're going to spot the fake is if you know the real. If I don't know Nikes, I might be buying myself a pair of mics, and I think it's quite cool. If I don't know how they actually pronounce Adidas, I might be buying myself a nice pair of Adibas. We're laughing at this, guys. But the devil is dishing this out to us daily. If we don't know the Gospels, if we don't know the Jesus of the Word firstly, the one that rhema stuff to you, the one that you remember from that moment of your salvation, if you don't remember that voice, it gets a bit blurry. Then Adibas and Mike's and Sector 9.11s will just come into our closet and come into our homes unexpectedly, and they will let us down the road. Know the real so that we can spot the fake. Now, firstly, we are talking about what? We're talking about the voices of strangers. Firstly, guys, it's spiritual. It's spiritual lies and a spiritual battle. We look at Ephesians 6, you all know this, but let's just quickly read there from verse 12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over the present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. It sounds weird, but it's just saying, guys, it's demonic lies that comes to you many a times. And it's a spiritual battle. It's those things that whisper into your ear. Ah, don't buy the Section 9, buy the whatever else. It's just those things that the devil uses to whisper into your ear that touches your heart. And once you swallow, once you take it in, it just steers you off course. And then he talks in Ephesians 6 about having the full armor on. We can't stay on there. But the devil just works up our emotions. He just drops a subtle lie. And so the stranger's voice comes in. And then I believe this to be quite important in this day and age. The next one, please. The next slide. Many a times the devil comes in with religious lies. Either a religious spirit or a religious lie. It looks like the real deal. It looks like Nikes, but it's Mikes. It looks like Adidas, but it's Adibabas. It's just, he will not come in with something totally outlandish, totally weird and whack, totally weird, that you can clearly spot the difference. He comes in with something as sweet and as subtle as the Good Shepherd, something that kind of looks like the shepherd, but it's just not the shepherd. Let's look at the scripture. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. So he's just back to the theme today, and he's saying, look out for wolves in sheep's clothing that tells you lies and try to sell you something that it's not. It just kind of makes it religious. It looks kind of right, but it's not at all the same or the real deal. What is it? It is Antichrist. The counterfeit Christian spirit will always look like, or try to look like, the real shepherd in the real deal. Now, how I try to just quickly characterize and put them in a definite order. It's very easy to spot. We firstly said what it the voice will be, or the attack will be Antichrist. It might look like Christ, but at the end of the day, it will turn on you, and it will not make Christ the true and only Messiah, the true and only Son of God, the true and only died and resurrected Son. It will attack that every single time. It might look like it, but at the end of the day, it will come and bite you back. I've put it in three categories. It's easy to remember. Firstly, Antichrist as heading. It will be Jesus plus one, Jesus minus one, or Jesus is not enough. It's all you have to remember. I'm going to break it down now. It's many times it's Jesus, but you need to add a little more. Jesus, but you need to take a little away. And then, plainly, the third category that I've seen in our generation is Jesus is just plainly not enough. I need something more exciting, something more lacquer. First one, we've got Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life, the only way into salvation, the only way in which we can be reconnected with God the Father. Jesus and His way only, His gospel, His truth. Yet what happens, there's two spheres in this day and age. One to the one side adds a bit of law. So it's Jesus plus something extra. Jesus, but you may not eat pork. Jesus plus you have to adhere to all the festivals. Jesus plus a little bit out of the Mosaic law. Have anybody seen that lately? There's a lot of Hebrew roots stuff going on. I'm not going to go into detail about it, but we need to be frank. Yes, Jesus, yes, but you know what? It's Jesus and just, you need to do these six other things to be justified, to be righteous before the Lord. So it just adds something. It's very subtle. It looks like the shepherd. It looks like everything, but it just says, and that extra hoop. We need to be careful of those things. Let's look at Galatians, because they actually were looking at the same problem. We ourselves are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners. And he says then in Galatians 2, verse 16, yet we know that a person is not justified by works of law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we also have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law. So it's Christ and Christ alone. Because by works of law, no one will be justified. It's not on there, but it's so nice in Galatians 2, verse 18, just two verses down. Galatians 2, verse 18, he says, for if I rebuild what I've thrown down, I prove myself to be a transgressor. So Jesus came to what? He led us from the old covenant to the new covenant. He was the only way to justification and being righteous with the Father. And now it actually happened in those days, and these days it actually happened again. Or it might happen in our own hearts. Lord, just come and show us. Little nuances, little cultural things that we just throw in there. This is how worship should work. So yes, we can enter His presence in this way, but just you need to do this culturally as well. It's the same thing. It's just Jesus plus adding a little bit extra. But Paul says to us, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. So it's Jesus and Jesus alone that justifies us with the Father. Nothing extra. Can God lay something on your heart that you need to be obedient to, that He wants you to do? Absolutely. But it's relational. It's not your salvation, and it's not to be justified. That's very important. If God, for instance, lay on your heart, do not eat pork, it is not because you are adhering to the Mosaic law. It is because relationally He says to you, this is my heart for you in the new covenant. Jesus is still the only way to salvation and justification. But in our relationship, I think this is a good thing. There might be a good reason. You might freak out because of pork and you don't even know it. Stupid example in my life. I don't have DSTV. It's a law upon my heart and upon my wife's heart. And it's been like that for the 9 years that we've... Uncle Leafy. Like the 9 years we've lived together. Say it was in the old law that you shall not have DSTV in your life, otherwise I'll struck your house with a curse, which I would have written in there. Now I'm just joking. But it could have stood there, and I now went, got saved through Jesus, got justified through Jesus, but I then did not get DSTV because the law said so. Would it have changed anything about my justification and righteousness before? No, not whatsoever. But is it a relational thing that God tells me to do? Yes. Does it make sense, guys? It might feel like, oh, Retief, what are you up with? Drinking wine, good example. God might lay something specific on you, your heart. You are entitled to drink very amazing, expensive coffee. Ralph might be able to drink a glass of wine now and again. You're not able to do that, but it's a relational thing. It's not a thing about salvation. It's not a Jesus plus. It's Jesus and Jesus alone, but it's a relational thing that God wants us to be obedient. So is there still obedience, and is there still things that God through His Holy Spirit will place upon our hearts, a law that He places on our hearts? Definitely. But we are not more or less righteous because we do them. We grow in relationship with Him concerning that. Then Jesus, let's take away a bit of Jesus. Kom ons water dit 'n bietjie af. That's also the law side is one side of the spectrum. And now we've got the strangest voice on the other side that is, I believe, in this generation just pounding. Who's heard anything about hyper grace? I'm too blessed to be stressed. Hyper grace, or an unbiblical form of grace. It is where grace is put on a pedestal that is higher than any other part of the theology of God and all the teachings of God. It has become such a law upon itself, such a gracious law upon itself, that is the only thing we see. Let's break it up a bit that you can understand. Go read about these things. It's quite nice, but go read first in the Word. A wave of teaching emphasizing the grace of God to the exclusion of other vital teachings. So we're saying the grace of God. Guys, hear me out. There's nothing wrong with the grace of God. It's by God's grace that we are here. It's by God's grace that we can say, ba, ba, ba. It is by His grace that we are sheep and called into relationship. It is by grace. I'm not mocking grace. But there's a place where there's an ill balance to this side of grace as well. It's to the emphasizing the grace of God to the exclusion of other vital teachings. In other words, repentance and confession of sin does not feature anymore. God's grace is so great and amazing that you do not have to repent of sins or turn anymore. And that is not true. Go read Revelations. To five of the seven churches that Jesus speaks in Revelation, five of them need to repent and turn. New covenant, new dispensation, major repentance, talking to churches, talking to flock, talking to sheep. We need to be careful what we swallow, what we read, what we look at, what we watch. Because it sounds so great. It looks just like the shepherd. It says, yes, man, this one, this is the nice, easy way. It's still the shepherd. But just come walk down this road. Yes, yes, have some. Yes, sleep around. Just quickly, let's go. And it walks down this road, and it starts very subtly, but it takes you to a place of death. It takes you right into the mouth of a wolf. And that's why we're saying, guys, let's be careful for the voices of stranger. Hypergrace says that all your past, present, and future sins are all forgiven. You never, ever have to repent again. And it's a bit of a lie. It makes a mockery of the Word of God. It says that you're not bound by Jesus' teaching. Why? Because it was before He died. In other words, He's still, to some degree, part of the old covenant, they say. Funny enough, but Jesus Himself said that the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, will come and remind you of what? Everything that I've said. Anyway, we're not going to, it's not a place for having the arguments to and fro. I'm just saying, hey guys, there's one side that is a bit of a dark side of a gevaarlike plek. Here help me. A dangerous place, and the grace side as well. What happens is they pervert the grace of God into a license of immorality. Go read Jude 1, verse 4. So that's just, I don't see that any of you guys have a problem. I just believe God says that my sheep will know my voice and the voice of a stranger that they will not follow. And these are the strange voices in our generation. And then lastly, I said to you, firstly, I said, it's Jesus plus one, Jesus minus one, or Jesus just not enough. I believe if you tell me that I'm a Christian, I'm a following of Jesus, but man, the gospel is just, it's just not getting it. Reading the Bible, it's just, oh man, it's just not enough. Then you've not met the shepherd. Sorry, you've not heard his voice. You've not felt his presence. Him caressing you, holding your heart. You have not felt the true shepherd healing you or leading you to an awesome pasture that you crave for. You've not tasted the waters that only the shepherd can give you. If the gospel and the word that we have today and Jesus in its purest, his purest form of his word and spirit is not a good enough, then you just have not tasted it. It's very easy. You've just not been comforted by that shepherd. But we unfortunately have this third part where people are constantly looking, scratching, wanting something more. And they talk about the itching ears. And hears it in Paul talking to Tim. Same problem then, I believe same to our problem today. 2 Timothy 4:3. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. So it's sheep that says, well, I've got a bit of a passion for this thing, so I'll just go around until I find somebody that scratches my itching ear. And the second verse says, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. So it's itching ears wanting something more than the magnificence and the greatness of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need to be careful. It can be the voice of a stranger. Am I knocking knowledge? No. Am I knocking deep revelation and rhema words from the Lord? No, not at all. I'm just saying, hey guys, he comes as a wolf in sheep's clothing. Let's just discern. With these three things, Jesus plus one, Jesus minus one, or Jesus not enough. If I look at it and I read the scriptures and I look in our context of our world that we're in today, what is the thing, the common denominator many a times that I find? It's just a spirit of pride. If you go look at it, does Jesus is cool, but I need to adhere to these fests and I need to go to Jerusalem physically or I need to do this extra stuff. If you go and look at these things, or oh, this grace, man, this is just so amazing, but God just loves me and there's just no repentance and there's just no way that he can actually hold me accountable for the stuff that I'm doing. Or, lastly, I've got these itching ears, I just want a deeper revelation. Many a times it's a place of putting yourself in a higher position, a bit of a place of pride, saying that the rest of you sheep don't actually know what's cooking, but I. That's how it sounds. It's just, I've got the deep, true revelation. I'm the sheep with the knowledge. I'm the sheep with the right thing. It's not looking up to the shepherd. It's not following the shepherd. It is a matter of the sheep being placed on a pedestal. Praise God. I said it's pride. We need to be humble. So sometimes God humbles us by ourselves. It's Antichrist. The stranger's voice will be Antichrist. It might not look it might not be so obvious, but eventually the stranger's voice will be Antichrist. The three things is it will add something to Jesus, the gospel, believing in faith, justification, and salvation by him, not enough. It'll either take it away, water it down, or it'll say, no, I've got to go. Let's go to this island, or let's go stay there and have this deep revelation. No. Get back to the gospels. Quite easy. And then the last form of voices that we have is cultural voices. Cultural or goat-like generation, I said. Cultural voices or a goat-like generation. Scripture, again, helps us clearly. 2 Timothy 3:1. But understand this, that in the last days, there will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self. Sheep is not so in love with themselves. They're in love with green pastures, good water, and safety of a shepherd. They're quite happy with that. Am I knocking your creativity or standing out or being strong and being a warrior? No, not at all. Look, we're looking at an area of Christianity. So please, I'm not saying we should be all dumb and be all dumb about it. No. You're uniquely and wonderfully made. But just be careful in context for the voices of strangers. Cultural voices are, for the people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. We see a bit of that in our culture. Beware the voices of the strangers. Having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. Avoid such goats. Avoid such people. Other translation says, holding fast to a form of godliness but denying its power. In other words, we just want to have our way. But we will hold on to a form of religion, but we'll deny the substance of being sheep, of laying down your life, of following, of dying to self. And just the theology of the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is quite a hard one, but it's not on there. Charles Spurgeon, and you can trust his stuff, said the following way back. He said, a time will come, and guys, praise God, it's not applicable here. Really, I know, I can say it out of the deepest, deepest sincerity of my heart. It's not applicable here. I believe God is giving us this message for ourselves going into a season spiritually and also for brothers and sisters out there that we can help and we can love and just, hey man, back to simplicity. What's the shepherd saying? Are you sure that's the shepherd's voice? I believe that's what God prophetically is saying. And those people coming in with the mekaar koppe, we can say, hey man, what's Jesus saying? What's the shepherd saying? Not the stranger's voice, but Spurgeon said the following. A time will come when instead of shepherds feeding the sheep, the church will have clowns entertaining the goats. That's like hardcore. Praise God, I'm not a clown. I do have stupid jokes, but it's not for entertainment value. It's just to keep you awake. So this is a bit laver. It's a bit of a heavy, heavy word from the Lord. And let's end it off with truth and with something more lightly and to know and to remind ourselves that yes, there might be strange voices, but we're not going to walk in fear now. We're not called to walk in fear because Scripture says the following, John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice, I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they will never perish, ever. No one will snatch them out of my hand. Nobody will snatch them out of my hand. Guys, I want to say to you, fellow sheep of God, of the Good Shepherd, do not fear. You will not be snatched from His hand. You will not be snatched from His hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one. I love that word snatch. Because you might hear, oh, strange voices. Oh, crap. What can I trust? What can I not trust? You will not be snatched from His hand. Stay true to being sheep. Be humble. Be teachable. Stay in the Word. Keep to the basics. And you will not be snatched from His hand. It does not say, will not be lured out over time. Because what does the stranger's voice do? It comes and mimics Himself as being all churchy. It mimics Himself as being all godly. And then over time, He will lure you out of the Father's hand. That might be the case. But hey guys, that's why we're in a flock. That's why we love one another. That's why we keep on chatting. That's why we keep on praying. That's why we keep on being in the Word. That even if He tries to lure you out with a religious lie, at the voice of a stranger, you will soon pick that it is the Antichrist speaking. He will either wanting to be adding something to Christ, taking something away, or saying He's not enough. And you're like, oh, I don't know that voice. I know the one that is fully enough to justify me. I know the one that if I have my faith and put my faith in Him, I'm saved. I know the one that is the true good shepherd that will lead me. You will not be snatched from His hand. Stay humble, stay teachable, and stay accountable. Let us pray and trust the Lord just to speak to our souls. Thank you, Lord, that it's not something that I made up. Thank you for your word. Thank you that you just clearly, as daylight, placed on my heart, my sheep will know my voice and the voice of another they will not follow. And I just thank you, Father, that you will just come and make it real in every heart here today. We just say no fear in Jesus' name, but a lot of love. Perfect love, just come and cast out any fear. And then in the same breath, we say, thank you, Lord, that through your Holy Spirit, just come and show us in our lives, in our families, where is there a voice of the stranger? It's not rocket science. Come and just show us where the devil might be adding something, taking something away, or saying Jesus is not enough. Jesus, we declare as a church, you are the way, the truth, and the life. You are the Messiah. You are the perfect and spotless lamb yourself. And because you were perfect lamb, we can be sheep. We can be lamb as well. The road is narrow and few find it. We want to be those few. We want to be part of the few that find it. Because the shepherd found us first. Never mind the stranger's voice. With all eyes closed, if you struggle to trust the good shepherd firstly, please raise your hand. I want to pray for you.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for these hands. Amen. Amen. Moment of restitution. Hallelujah. God, I pray that those that have lifted their hands now, that you will come, not break any legs, but pick them up and put them to your chest. Now in this time. Jesus, where they just humbly say, I'm sheep, but man, I don't lack a trust because of hurt and maybe even stuff that happened in the past. I'm struggling. Come and pick these souls up. Come and pick them up. Body, soul, and spirit, and put them on your lap. May they get to know your voice in this season like never before. Thank you, God. May they be able to spot the fake because they know the real. They know the good shepherd. Thank you for healing. Thank you for healing. Thank you for healing and healing. He is the good shepherd. Thank you, Father. If you think there might be strange voices, the voice of strangers in your life, and you just want God to take that battle and just break those things in your life and break it out of your life, just raise your hand. If you just say, Lord, if there's any strange voices that wants to shepherd me and lead me, just raise your hand and I can pray for you. It's a simple humility of sheep. Lord, I raise my hand firstly. Thank you, God, for these hands that have been raised. I just ask that you come and minister to their hearts. And Holy Spirit, Spirit of truth, thank you that you will bring conviction if needed. And if there's any stranger's voice that are trying to shepherd us or lead us astray, thank you that you'll just clearly show us. Again, no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. There's a gift of discernment. It's a gift of the Holy Spirit. But it does not mean that if you've got the gift, that if you don't have the gift, that you cannot discern. If you would like me just to pray with you for your discernment, your spiritual discernment, you can lastly just raise your hand and we can pray that God just helps with discernment. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I thank you for your outpouring through your Spirit, through your Holy Spirit, that you will help us and enable us to distinguish between the voice of the good shepherd and that of strangers. The one that is Christ and the one that is Antichrist. It's very simple. Lord, it comes through time in your word. It comes through time in your presence. But it's also through the Holy Spirit that we are helped by the Helper. For these hands that have lifted, raise their hands, I pray, come and help us to discern and discern clearly. Not only for ourselves, but also for brothers and sisters. For people out there, for our neighbors, help us to discern and to know how to, in love, to help them or even lead them back to the good shepherd. Lastly, we just declare, thank you that you are the good shepherd of this church. Shepherd us, lead us, discipline us, and have your way. Keep us, our hearts humble, Lord, and teachable. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name.
Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever.
Perfect. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, good shepherd, that you alone can keep us and will keep us. And we thank you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.